I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
This morning's scripture reading comes from 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 20. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel in Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us, then, a king to govern us, like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said to him, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of your people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So also they are doing to you. Now listen to the voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow the ground and some to reap his harvest and some to make implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchard and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to his work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, to whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer in that day." But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, but we are determined to have a king over us, so that we also may be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate that. You know, the scripture is really important because it's an important point in our history where everything turns around. I don't know if you caught that point, but you will before this is over with. It tells us something about people. And we wonder about people around the world and why there are these tyrants that end up being in charge. Interestingly, we generally speak of love to have someone who is going to care for us. And so when we say we want someone like a shepherd, then we're basically saying that what we really want is someone who is going to love us, not someone who's going to control us. And if we look back through history, we'll find many nations gave some absolute power over their lives with no checks and balances, which is a different thing than having a shepherd. So here's what I want you to think about as we go through this. Think about places like the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had an emperor. What did the emperor do? Eventually, the emperor started declaring themselves God. Did they not? More recently in history, we've had Adolf Hitler, Saddam Hussein, Muammar Gaddafi. We can go through a list of people who took control of a nation and the people let them. The people let them. In every case of absolute leadership, there was absolute corruption, mistreatment of the people, subject to that leadership, and trouble, if not war, with other nations. It's what it happens. And so God is warned. He's given this warning through Samuel to the people. Simply put, when one declares oneself above the law and equal to God, bad things happen. Always have. In 1 Samuel, we're hearing of the desire of the people of Israel for an absolute monarch. Someone other than God to lord over them. Here's what we hear. These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties. And some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields. Take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take one-tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give to his officers and courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to work. He will take one-tenth of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. Anyone see a red flag? If someone tells you that, well, here in the States, we're going to get ourselves someone who will lord over you and take from you. Doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? Who would want such a life? And yet there are people. Well, clearly the Israelites did. Later we're told, but the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel and they said, no, we are determined to have a king over us. So we also may be like other nations, and our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles. Folks, if there's ever a red flag, you have someone fight your battles for you, they own you. Do you hear the words? We are determined to have a king over us. Determined to fight our battles. Sounds like some folks who want to kick back and let others take responsibility for their lives. Perhaps they should have said, we want no responsibilities. Would have been more accurate, wouldn't it? We are willing to give up our freedom so someone else can have our responsibilities and tell us what to do. I've heard people say that in the workplace. I don't want to be a boss. I want someone to tell me what to do. I don't want to have to think. I want someone to do my thinking for me. I would hope, as United States citizens, we would be appalled if someone wanted to take our freedom away. If someone wanted to lord over us without checks and balances, without consequences for their actions, why be passive and allow someone to control us? This is the warning that we're hearing in Samuel. And I'm going to tell you a story. In heaven, there were two lines of men. One line was for the passive, submissive husbands. The other line was for the dominant husbands. In the passive line, there were a line of men going all the way back. You couldn't even see the end. In the dominant line, there was one guy. He was meek and mild, looked kind of mousy standing there. And an angel came up and said, why are you in this line? And he said, because this is where my wife told me to stand. While that illustration is humorous, the reality is when we give up our freedom to a tyrant, is that it's anything but humorous. What God warned the people of Israel about actually came to fruition. Think about this. 1 Samuel 9:2, you can find this. Later we are told the people chose Saul to be king. And here is Saul's list of qualifications. Listen to this. This is his list of qualifications. 1 Samuel 9:2. He was a handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. He stood head and shoulders above everyone else. Sounds like a winner, right? Never said that he could think. Never said that he had ever ruled before. Never said that he had any idea what he was doing. But he was good looking and he was tall. And so they choose him to think for them, to fight their battles for them, then choose someone so ill-equipped. Why would you do that? Now, when Jesus speaks of sheep, and I want you to think about this, when Jesus speaks of his sheep, he speaks of them in a very loving and caring manner, does he not? Look at the picture. Never saying he will take from them, but rather give to them. Jesus makes promises of giving to the sheep. When we look at Saul, Saul wants to take. And God tells everyone he's going to take. That's what he wants. Throughout history, we see tyrant after tyrant chosen who takes from the people. Anyone remember Herod? King Herod? Killed all the firstborn males when Jesus was born? Folks, that's taking. Took lives, took money, took whatever he could from the people. Sheep. Which kind of sheep do you prefer? Do you want to be a sheep who allows a tyrant to be over you, or a sheep who has a loving shepherd over you? Huge difference. Being an absolute monarch sheep or sheep loved by Jesus is the choice that we make. Let's look at this in these terms. One day, out in the woods, a hawk, a lion, and a skunk met together. And they were going to see who was the most powerful. So the hawk says, I'm the most powerful because I can swoop down and I can catch prey before they even know I'm there. Just like that. The lion says, I'm the most powerful because I can run faster and I have big teeth to catch my prey with. And the skunk said, I'm more powerful than both of you. Because all it would take is one flick of my tail, and I'll chase you both away. About that time, a large grizzly bear came out of the woods. He ate all of them. Hawk, lion, and stinker. When I think of our scripture, I think of this story. Among all the kings of the Old and New Testaments, there were hawks, there were lions, and there were some real stinkers. And in every case, God, the grizzly bear, put an end to their reign. Tyrants fall. Historically, that has always been true. Unfortunately, there are times we, the human race, give the tyrants the power. Give them the power and allow them to hurt us. And all the while, God says, they have rejected me from being king over them. Did you catch that when he told Samuel? Don't take it personally, guy. It's not about you. They're rejecting me. Why are we like that? Why do humans have a tendency to acquiesce to tyrants? Acquiescence is the passive acceptance or submission to something like to a tyrant. God has never asked that of us. God has never said, let me lord over you and tell you what to do. God has always given us the freedom to choose. We can choose to follow Christ or not. We can choose to come to church and worship or not. We can choose to be involved in the ministries of Jesus Christ or not. I don't think there's any of us here that can say that this morning God came down, picked us up, and said, get to church. That's love. Because God trusts us to do it. Choice. Then God did something very special. God sent His only Son to show us what God is like. You want to know what I'm like? Look. Now choose. Is this what you want, my son? Or do you want King Herod? Is this what you want, Israel? You want me? Or you want Samuel? Or do you want to have a king over you that is chosen by the people because he's good looking? So Saul gets chosen. Is that really what people want? I'm going to hear some. Did you know that Black Bart was a real person? How many of you knew Black Bart was real? For those of us who have seen A Christmas Story, we think it's just part of a movie. Adios, Black Bart. Black Bart was real. Black Bart was a professional thief whose very name struck fear as he terrorized the Wells Fargo line from San Francisco to New York. His name became synonymous with the danger of the frontier. Between 1875 and 1883, he robbed 29 different stagecoach crews. He's real. Amazingly, Black Bart did it all without firing a shot. He never had to shoot because he wore a hood. No victim ever saw his face. He never took a hostage and was never trailed by a sheriff. Instead, Black Bart later said from prison, he didn't need to fire a shot. All he had to do was use fear to paralyze his victims. Saul, anybody? Egypt, you want to talk about Pharaoh ruling with fear? Herod ruling with fear? Black Bart said, fear, the face of the unknown was my weapon of choice, my weapon of intimidation. His sinister presence and his threat of words was enough to overwhelm the toughest stagecoach guard. They just handed him the money. God warns all of us through this scripture of the threat of having a monarch. God warns us of the weapons of fear and intimidation. God warns us that to be a sheep for an earthly king is quite different from being a sheep of His Son, Jesus Christ. God's words of warning are as relevant today as they were all those years ago. As followers of Christ, why would we allow anyone to dominate us? And it happens in our society today. Whether it be at the local level, the state, the national, we have people who rule by fear and intimidation. If you're scared of me, you'll do what I want. God says, are you scared of my son? Why would we allow the world to tell us what to do? When we have a God who will love us and say, I'm giving you choice. Just make the right one, please. For you are my son's sheep. And he will love you until the day you die and join him in heaven. Those are words of assurance. To be loved. To not be ruled by anyone but God. So in our scripture today, I ask that you continue to think about the choices that God gives us, that we may remember that God is in charge, and we should never turn power over to anyone else but our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you, we know that this world is easy to give into. We know that oftentimes fear and intimidation work in our lives. Free us of our fear. Let us not be intimidated. Let us choose you as our God, as our Savior, as our Shepherd. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.